going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Curry pops top of the key. Jab step. Shoots a three. Quick release. Splash! Splash! 95-86.
This is Tim Roy, and you're listening to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Tim Roy on the call Saturday. He'll be on the call again tonight with Tom Tolbert. 7 o'clock tip, 6 o'clock Warriors Live, all right here on 95.7 The Game. And, yeah, you might want to come up on Steph Curry.
You think?
Although that, you know what? Of all the shots he's made in his career, that was a little bit of a new one where it was a quick, it's a quick one, it's a quick one.
Wow. Like you were at the park.
It was quick.
Yeah.
And Dylan Brooks thought he was there, but he wasn't there. And Steph made him pay, and that was a big shot that put the Golden State Warriors up 9. Matt Stymus, Darryl the Guru Johnson with you. We're at the Stone Tree Golf Club at the Agape Golf Tournament sponsored by ATCO Pest Control. Let's jump into some calls. Goo, we have a lot of people that want to talk
about
the dubs. Let's go to DJ in New Orleans. Hey, DJ, how you doing, man?
Yo, what's going on? It's David, man.
All right, David, how are you?
Yeah, man. Look, so I guess my silver lining was shining bright, huh?
We got to remind
silver
me.
Silver line.
I got a great memory, but I may have forgotten.
Well.
Yeah, when I called, I wanted to say that was the day of the game, and I was talking about the Houston loss when they lost to Houston, but towards the second half, how they started to play, they kept coming back, but Jalen Green just was going crazy, and I figured that we'll be able to win the game without Jimmy. I figured we'd be able to win that game without Jimmy just because of coming home and stuff like that. But I just want to make a couple of points, fellas. I think that what hadn't been talked about in that game from an offensive standpoint was Steph not just being off of the ball, but the way he attacked the game with the ball and a live dribble, like how he was running around, and manipulating the traps and double teams off of screens and making the passes and getting players wide open looks. He essentially kind of turned into a point guard's towards the end of the game, even though he wasn't scoring. You know, and I thought that took a lot of pressure off of the role players also. You saw GP2 hit the wide open key shot in the corner, and he was getting a lot of easy buckets for his teammates opposed to them trying to get easy buckets for him, which actually opened it up for him even more.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was a good adjustment that they made. Also, I hear some callers talking about Jonathan Kuminga. You know, I get it. You know, we all want him to be like a franchise player, a great player. But I felt like for that specific game, I mean, he did enough for what the game required. I mean, could he have played better? Yeah, but I mean, we didn't need him to be a superhero because the rest of the team was playing so well. So I mean, I felt like he did his job, and Draymond Green, the tech,
yeah.
The tech man. that was the biggest play in the game. Before, I felt like they were sleepwalking. And when he got mad and went crazy, I just feel like it flipped the switch with the team. And I heard Buddy saying something about, you know, he was telling Draymond to calm down, and Jimmy was like, nah, let him go. I think we need that. So I think Draymond knew what he was doing, man. He was playing a mental game. And after that, he played better. I feel like it helped the team, but it also helped him lock in on defense because he was playing defense like his head was on fire after that. So, you know, I think it was all around good win, man. So I'm pleased with what I saw.
Good stuff.
Now, I don't disagree with you. I mean, when you start Jonathan Kuminga after playing in game two for the first time in a couple weeks, you got to know that you're not going to, you know, the odds are unlikely that he's going to be a star player in that game. But what you want him to do is gobble up some minutes, not hurt you, defend, which he was doing. And he played 17 minutes, and that's 17 minutes more than he's been playing outside of game two. So we'll see what happens now in game four, whether Jimmy Butler's back or not. And obviously that'll dictate a lot of Kuminga's minutes. And so we might be back to square one if Butler's healthy tonight, but we'll see.
Yeah, and it's funny he brought up Draymond, Stoney. I don't believe I've ever seen a guy feel like he got fouled on the floor and gets up and runs towards the ref. And I'm watching it in real time like he's Forrest Gump. But he needs the refs as an antagonist. And he's just perfect in regard to, I'm going to dump whatever's on my mind here. You missed a foul. But to piggyback off of that and take that frustration or that you know, him being mad out on the Rockets, it's just he's all by himself in that category, Stoney. And when he gets going and he's mad, whoever they're playing, watch out. And that's what happened. But he also made a point about Steph Curry because your word, I don't know if you know it's new, but demoralizing. You've been using that word a lot throughout these playoffs. And for the Rockets to blitz Steph and he's going at 100 miles per hour, but him to have the wherewithal to do the bounce passes, the GP2 or whomever, make the right pass, that's when I feel like the Rockets are like, you got to be kidding me. We're chasing this guy around, and then he just bounce pass in the basket to whomever and a layup, and now it's on us with our inept offense to go down and try to combat it and get a bucket, man. It's just Steph's in the zone right now.
888-957-9570 is the number. What'd you think about Saturday's game, Warrior fans? It's a one-point game. In fact, the Rockets are leading that game by one with 6.5 minutes to go.
Woo.
And the Warriors just closed them out in a big way. Gary Payton was in the middle of it. Buddy Hield had a big game. And, of course, Steph Curry was there from start to finish. And the Golden State Warriors look to go up 3-1 tonight. At Shea Center, 7 o'clock tip-off, 6 o'clock Warriors Live, all right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go to Trevor in Rohnert Park.
T,
what's up, Trevor? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's been a little bit since I called in, but it seems like a good time.
Yes, sir.
Guys, I would say Draymond Green was angry before that game even started just because he missed out on the Defensive Player of the Year, which I think a lot of people thought he should have got. So that was a statement game a little bit for Green, I think even more so. So, yeah, he had an amazing defensive performance that game, and Steph Curry went off like Steph Curry does. I think the point that we need to see here is that it doesn't matter – who the supporting cast is that steps up in that day, that game. It's that somebody does. And in game two, that didn't happen, and it was very frustrating. Nobody, once Butler was hurt, stepped up and decided they wanted to play basketball. It almost felt like they laid down and died for that game. I didn't know if they were going to win that game or not, being in Houston, but the point is that was a good get-back game, game three, and a couple of guys, like you said, Hield showed up, Pozinski got 10, Gary Payton went off, and Draymond Green had a great defense. But we're not talking a little – well, you guys started to talk a little bit about also the deeper that this series gets into, you know, this is where the Warriors are dangerous because that's when Steve Kerr can really start carving teams up. And if a team doesn't get off to a good start in a series against the Warriors, go up 2-0, go up 3-1. The Warriors are a scary team, and so I expect the Warriors to come out tonight and have a great game, but it's all about the supporting characters. It doesn't matter whether it's Kuminga, Pajinski, Heald, Moody, but a couple of guys got to get us some points. And as long as that happens, Curry's going to do his thing. Green is going to do his thing. And so that's what it's all about. And I don't think Jonathan Kuminga, I've been saying this forever, he's not a superstar. He did, like you said earlier, you just want him in the game to eat up some minutes and basically not make any mistakes, right? And just kind of just do his thing, but you don't have to go crazy. And so he did that. I don't know what the other caller was talking about where he had a huge impact on the defensive side. I watched that game. I thought he was okay.
Right.
I didn't see anything that, yeah. So anyway, guys, I guess my point is two things. As long as Steve Kerr's coaching the team, the deeper this series gets, the harder it's going to be for the Rockets. And so I think the Warriors will win this series, and I think they'll win tonight. And as long as a couple guys step up, not named Curry and Green, and hopefully, you know, we get Butler back. But you just need a couple guys to do something, and yeah, we're going to be in good shape.
Appreciate it, Trevor. Thanks for the call.
Good stuff.
I want to address one of the things he said. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. I think his thought is actually not conventional wisdom, and that is, Trevor said, you know, he thinks the longer the series goes, the more Steve Kerr's an advantage because of his coaching and the mm-hmm. things he can do. I would think most fans would think the longer series goes, the worse it is for the Warriors because of their age and because of how quickly the games come later in a series. But look, we'll see. I look at tonight's game, and I would never go into the game saying, uh-oh. But I think it's fair to look at tonight's game and say, okay, well, this is the first game that the Warriors and Curry are playing with just one day's rest, and it's game four of the series. And if it goes five or six, they're going to be playing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And I'm not saying Steph won't thrive. I'm not saying Steph's going to wear down, but I do think it's fair to kind of look at him this week and see how he responds to the uptick of games in a shorter period of time. I mean, that's just, to me, that's just what many people felt was the theme going into the series or going into the playoffs, whether the Warriors, you know, have enough in the tank to win a round, then win two, then win three, then win four.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you're asking me, Stoney, I'm just giving my 2 cents. That, you know, if the longer it goes, you know, just from a fan standpoint, that's where that word pedigree comes in. And the fact that, you know, this is the Rockets' like first time, you know, in the playoffs. So fatigue would definitely be there. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but I would have my money, especially if Jimmy Butler's back and we expect him to be. You got Kerr, Dre, and Steph and Jimmy, you know, playing with their backs against the wall on this stage. They've done that. Sure. I would put my I would feel good about it.
Did you text Celebrini?
No.
Where'd you get the, we expect Butler to play?
No, I said I do. I said I expect him back. So I want to go back to the caller, JB, Stoney.
Okay, go ahead.
As great as Curry was, the last 25 points, he had 9 of them. He only had scored 9 of them.
Who?
Steph Curry. So the other, in the fourth quarter, he had 9 points.
Right. He had six of the last 25.
Exactly.
Right,
and that is just a bouquet of flowers to the others. Like, if I'm the Rockets and you're telling me going in, that's how the fourth quarter is going to go, and he's the guy, we're going to be able to hold him to that. That just makes it worse in a sense, but others stepped up and got it done. That's where I'm going. And it's like, that's what felt so good about the win. Curry was the reason offensively, but GP2 and Buddy chipped in, and Houston has to be licking their wounds like, damn, you know, we didn't stop the other two guys, Buddy Hield and Gary Payton II. and maybe this series is we're up.
Yeah, I still think, like, I always look for just every aspect of a,
win, of
a win or a loss, and to me it's pretty simple. One of the things is pretty simple. Game one, Steph had 31. He was efficient. They won. Game two, he had 20. He was 6-for-15. Not terrible, but they lost. Game three, he has 36. He's efficient. They won. If Steph's going to get 30, the series is over.
Man.
Because then he doesn't need as much help as he does when he just gets 20. I don't think it's a coincidence that in game two, the role players weren't great, but in game three, they were. It all feeds off Steph Curry. And when Steph's got it going, they've got to pay more attention to him offensively. And yes, it opens up other things for other players. Let's go to Skip. Skip's in Hayward. Hey, Skip, how you doing?
How you guys doing? Happy Monday, everyone.
Yes, how are you?
You guys look great. Oh, you too. Listen, we tend to forget that these are the playoffs, and coaching is very, very important. In Steve Kerr, we trust. He knows who to put in, and the coaching, especially the spectacular coaching staff, they know, they watch the minutes, and they know the minutes. Look, we see Memphis out the playoffs, and Denver is having issues with the backup coaches. J.J. Redick did a disservice with his rotation on the bench. Kerr knows who are ready to play. J.K. is not ready to play. These are the playoffs. We don't have time to cuddle you. We don't have time. You got to follow the leader. Steve Kerr is the leader. Either you're ready or not ready at the point of time. He's really more of a detriment for the team, you guys. J.K. has the potential to be a very, very great player. Everyone likes J.K., but at this point in time, he just doesn't have it. Thanks for taking the call, you guys.
Appreciate it, Skip. Well, I mean, he was in the start.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. On June 21st, New York City will host the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's milestone 30th Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. Over the last 20 years, people have described the overnight as one of the most powerful experiences of their lives. Now is the perfect time to join us as people from all over the country come together to stop suicide. Walk over 16 miles from dusk till dawn to raise much-needed funds for this important cause. You'll form lasting friendships, experience healing and love, and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Be a part of this life-changing event. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Overnight Walk. June 21st. Register now at theovernight.org or call 888-THE-OVERNIGHT. That's 888-843-6837.
Starting lineup.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this as a backhanded compliment. He didn't kill you, and you are in a playoff game. And they end up winning the game. So I think Steve Kerr looks at it all as a win-win because he started Jonathan Kuminga in a game that the Warriors ended up winning. And Kuminga was able to play some minutes and at least get a little more experience that you stack up. On top of all the experience he's gotten. And I'm now looking at Jonathan Kuminga like I look at Buddy Hield. Is there a game that he can have in the postseason where you look at him just like we look at Buddy Hield today, saying, we might not win that game without Buddy Hield on Saturday? Kuminga needs to have a game like that where the Warriors maybe aren't playing well. They need a boost. And if Kuminga can help you win one particular game, then I'm not going to say it's worth it, but it would be very, very important. For example, look, Buddy Hield was inconsistent the last 6 weeks of the season. It doesn't matter right now. They are where they are, and he shot the ball great in game three.
Yes.
And you won it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters right now.
But, Stoddy, when you say Buddy Hield, I know what – when he's on, I know what he's bringing to the table. I know what skill set that is. And he wasn't a cone on defense by any stretch, but it's the three ball. And, boy, was he hitting the three ball. 5 of 11, and you needed every one. I mean, man, they're not down three at halftime without Buddy and that flurry. You know, being a fan of Kuminga, I just don't know, Stoddy, can he have that imprint and it not be points? Can it be
read? Good question.
You know what I mean? And that's what's so maddening. It's like, it's there. And I think Kerr is saying it doesn't just have to be scoring the ball, but how many times are we going to play this record to where we can talk about it, but he's got to be about it. And you're right. If that's where we're at now, Steiny, in 17 minutes as the start he got, you know, nobody's happy Jonathan Butler got hurt. But before that game started and it was announced Saturday night that Kuminga was going to be starting, I jumped off the couch and I'm like, let's go. And again, he didn't get you beat. And maybe coaching Vallejo, there's something too. He kept young Jalen Green from getting going. But, Stoddy, if that's a report card, that's okay. But to me, I need an A-minus or a B-plus to where you were so assertive. Jimmy come back or not, we're going to see Kuminga again, and I just don't know if we are. And I'll leave that there.
I mean, what Kuminga's got to realize is they don't need him to play an A-plus game.
Well, damn.
Because in his mind, an A-plus game would be getting you 25 points. That's not what they necessarily need. If he can have a game where he's 7 for 10 from the field, makes a couple threes, goes to the line, and has 19 or 20, obviously you take that. But Kerr, I think, is looking for all the other stuff. And if he can do all the other stuff, maybe he'll get more time.
Go ahead. No. Post in 27 minutes had 12 rebounds. And I know Coach Vallejo was saying the ball's coming out deep. He's on the perimeter. But best believe Quentin Post stayed in the game because he got 12
exactly.
big boards.
That's exactly right. And he clogged the middle
yes,
a little
he
bit.
Did.
And he gave the Warriors a dimension that, let's face it, if there's one theme of the Warriors fans over the course of not just this year but for a while, it's we don't have a big man. We don't have a big man. Post is a little unconventional, but stick him in the middle of the lane like the Rockets stick Steven Adams in the middle of a lane. And, you know, he's not quite as big as Adams, but you got to go over him or around him.
Had a block.
Let's go to Mac in Oakland. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, I really appreciate you guys' content. So let me first say, I'm a football guy. So I'm like that guy on Easter that goes to church once a year. About a week before playoffs, that's when I get involved. That's when I start watching. So I'm open for correction to my observations. But my observation is Kuminga is a guy who right now is being discounted, and you cannot keep doing this. This guy has to stay on the team. It's not going to be this year. The Warriors have older players, and this young man with his athleticism and his heart is going to be a part of what's going to continue the Warriors' greatness. He doesn't need to be part of the greatness now. And his 3 points is going to be getting downhill to the bucket and getting fouled and getting that free shot. That's three for him, not those long-ass three. He needs to be under, excuse my Swahili, he needs to be under the bucket. He needs to be rebounding and playing defense for now. And let me ask about Trayce Jackson-Davis. I'm wondering what it is that I'm missing, because this is another guy with an athletic pedigree who can get to the boards. And what I'm seeing is teams try to out-physical the Warriors. Right now, they are butchering or they're beating up on the Warriors. I wouldn't want to risk fouls on Quentin Post or Draymond. I would put this guy in for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes at a time when I could. Let him go out there and bump somebody. Let him go out there. If he gets 2 or 3 fouls, you weren't planning to use him anyway. But we're getting kind of sort of, to my view, out-physical, and we're allowing them to do too much. I don't want to have a fight, but I want to check them in a basketball manner that, hey, we're not going to let you mistreat our guys that you have been doing. I saw some fouls that should have been flagrant that were not. And I think the Warriors have to respond in a basketball context. And as far as the coach goes, he's not perfect. And he's our guy, so we got to go with his decisions whether we like it or not. And part of Kuminga's issue is application. The other part is the way the coach has decided to deal with him. And I don't know why that is. Could be a good reason. Bottom line is, he's a future star. Okay, guys, I'm ready to listen.
Thanks for the call. I mean, as it relates to Trayce Jackson-Davis and Post, I think it's obvious why he's going with Post. Post can spread the floor on offense. And you know what? Post is more physical than Trayce Jackson-Davis. That doesn't mean he's better. But in this type of series, maybe he leans toward Post because he wants the floor spread. And I think he's a bigger body, obviously, than Trayce Jackson-Davis, Goo.
Well, he gobbled up again 12 rebounds. And what's been the one common theme to me in this series is the Rockets have been hammering the Warriors on the board. Well, guess what, Stani? They lost again when you look at the totality of rebounded, but it was only 51-45 for total rebounds. So that's only a discrepancy of 6 and 5 when it comes to offensive rebounds. So in a crazy way, the Warriors closed that gap. As do games in the past, you know, those numbers were bigger. And Quentin Post, again, I'm watching him grab 12 rebounds. If I'm Steve Kerr, the last guy I'm thinking about is Trayce Jackson-Davis when I'm watching my big gobble up 12 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean,
and be a threat to shoot it, you know?
I mean, this is where Steve Kerr probably sees some things that we don't see.
Yeah.
As it relates to the guys who end up playing in a game or end up not playing in a game. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors take game 3, 104-93, and a win tonight puts them up 3-1 going back to Houston. Jimmy Butler status still undetermined for tonight, so we'll see if he plays at Chase Center or not. 888-957-9570 is the number. On the other side, I want to get into a player on the other team who looks a little bit scary, but why is he not playing more? What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Teammate of the year.
Hey.
Buddy Love.
Buddy was second.
Oh, who's first?
Voted by NBA players. Selfless play, on and off the court leadership, as a mentor and role model to other NBA players. Lou would be a good choice, too. Commitment and dedication to the team. All right.
Congratulations, Steph.
There you go, Steph.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Steph Curry was the winner of the Jack Twyman Teammate of the Year Award.
I'm getting emotional, man. That's what it's about. The dude's a superstar, and he wins that award in that presentation. You could never win that at the station because you don't like team meetings. You know what I mean? So you can't win it. But that's what it's about, Stani. The fabric of I care about God. What I'm doing.
All right. Okay.
No, seriously. Did you hear that presentation? Seriously. Buddy was second, but I'm a sucker for that stuff, man.
Yeah, wait till Curry says, of all the awards I've won, this one means the most. Yeah, okay. All right. Finals MVP, no. Give me the Jack Twyman. 888-957-9570 is the number.
I owe Curry nothing.
The shit.
You know, during the break, the boss, Matt Nahegan, and Guru were talking about a player on the Rockets, Jabari Smith Jr., and that he's a guy that they're worried about. And for whatever reason, he's not playing a whole lot for the Rockets. If you go, Steiny, why isn't Jabari Smith playing more?
Go ahead.
I would have to say, I can't give you a definitive answer because I don't watch the Rockets play 80 games.
Okay.
But here's what I'd have to imagine.
Give it to me.
On Ime Udoka's team, you have to defend. You have to. So I got to believe that Udoka does not feel like he's defensive-minded enough. What else could it be? Else could it be?
I love that answer because that's all it could be, right? He's their Kuminga, but he's 6'10". And just, you know, yesterday, Steiny, 4-8 from the field, 3-5 from the three-point range, 5 rebounds. Now a minus 8, he had 12 points. We know that can, you know, what goes up goes down with plus-minus. But Steiny, I'm just looking at his log, and you tell me, was he a turnstile on D yesterday? I didn't feel like, and I feel like he's the type of body type that the Warriors don't have an answer for, but he can't bust that, you know, past that 25-minute threshold. And I'm not saying he's been perfect, but just, you know, game two, 24 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 points. Game three, another 25 minutes, but get this, 4 of 8 from the field, 12 points, 3 rebounds, so 3 of 5 from deep. So I'm wondering, when they get up 12, I always feel like he's a part of it. He could put the ball on the floor, but if it is defensively, my friend, I would ask you, okay, well, who's giving him the business on the other end? Because damn sure ain't Looney. Post. You know what I mean?
Well, this is where, though, that when you're defending against the Golden State Warriors, there's not just one thing you have to do. You have to all be locked in, and if on a certain possession you're going to blitz Steph Curry, well, then the other three guys got to know where to be and where the shooters are. I'm just speculating because he did average 30 minutes a game in the regular season. He's at, 25 now, 5 minutes a game? I don't know, but that's all I could imagine. Let's go to Bobby in Oakland. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, brothers?
Hey.
Are we locked in for this game today?
No doubt, baby.
Well,
control.
I'm not playing, but I'll be locked in as a fan.
The fans are, Bobby. Yes, sir.
you'll be locked in critical of them, right? We get it.
Fairly critical. Yes, fairly critical.
I want to say 30 was brilliant. I think we need to get off Kerr's back. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I think that it's clear that the G League thing is not really, it didn't really work. And it's great to see Kuminga out there against Green, because Green also was part of that.
Yeah. Right.
And so you can see their limitations, you know, development-wise. You can kind of see their limitations. I mean, everybody know that Kuminga is borderline superstar in the making. But to me, Kuminga's a rhythm guy, and he just he needs to play a lot more. When he doesn't get in that rhythm, that last game, I mean, the ball would get to him, and it would just stick. Every time he get to him, the ball would stop. So, yeah. You know, I think defensively, though, he's up par. We need him defensively.
No, and you know what? You brought up a good point about Jalen Green and Jonathan Kuminga. Both played on the G League Ignite team.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you know he's hating to see Green go off, but go ahead, Daddy.
I just think you can see, I think the caller's absolutely right. I want to give him credit, Bobby. You know, you can see some of their limitations. They still are not close to finished products. They both can use a lot of work on the fundamentals. They both need to get more consistent. And the difference between the two players right now is Jalen Green has had an opportunity to play more than Jonathan Kuminga. But I do think Bobby's on to something there where they both have a lot of room for growth. They're both essentially the same age. Mm. Let's go to Delmore in Oakland. What's going on, Delmore?
Hey, fellas. I want to assure you, number one, I am locked in.
Nice.
There you go.
Evening's game. I'm on the couch. I'm prone, just like it'll be tonight. And so, but I just wanted to point on Saturday's game. I don't. I felt like the Warriors were very lucky to be as close as they were at halftime. Right? That like if the Rockets actually make some free throws in the first half, it'd have been a lot worse. But Quentin Post's rebounding, not just in that game, but in the third quarter, coming out. Really, I think that was just part of what the turning of momentum was to show that we could match up on the boards, which was not happening in the first half, and which I think was like part of why it felt like the Rockets game to that point to me.
Well, no, I think you're absolutely right. And that game started to be won in the second quarter. Warriors were down 12.
Oh, man.
By halftime, it's 3, almost felt like the Warriors were going into halftime up because they made that run at the end of the second quarter. And this is what I mean about
Buddy
a team.
Got hot. Yeah,
this is what I mean about a team like the Rockets. You know, they play a pretty good first half for most of it, and boom, 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 they go in, and the next thing you know, they're only up 3 at half when they probably feel like they should have been up 8 or 9.
And that's been a theme in this series, Donnie. Even if we take, you know, break it down in sectors after the first quarter, you know, even in Houston game one, they're throwing, it feels like everything's going the Rockets' way. And then you look and the Warriors are going into the second quarter down 3. Like that's got to be deflating. And if you want to tell me, because I'm asking if it's just experience, I get that. And I don't want to play the blame game. But at the end of the day, it's upon the Rockets to take advantage of something they're working hard for. Or then you go to the free throw line and miss. You're not prolonging your lead and putting in doubt into the Warriors' mind because you're smoking off chances to add
but
that you've earned.
But that's the Rockets' Achilles heel. We're not seeing anything offensively that we didn't think might happen to the Houston Rockets. They are not a good offensive team. They can go dry for periods of time. They're not. I don't think they take great shots. But what that does is, like, I guarantee you one thing. Well, I shouldn't, but I will. And see if I'm wrong.
Death and taxes.
I guarantee you the Rockets cannot blow the Golden State Warriors out.
Oh.
And the reason they can't blow them out is because they cannot score enough points to blow the Warriors out, especially if the Warriors are being conscientious on defense. They don't have polished offensive players.
Yeah,
they
I love that.
They just don't. Other than Şengün, they don't have anybody who can get you consistent points if they're being guarded pretty well.
No doubt. I love that, Stani. And I'm a bit, you know, I've been a one-trick pony with this nugget. But you just tell me, and I'm going back to demoralizing, the fact that the Rockets come into this series and you're holding the Warriors to 15 points less than what they average through three games, and you're down. To me, Steiny, we talk about the offense, and you put it you talked about it brilliantly, but come on, man, you can't waste what you've done defensively by taking that number down 15 and being down 1-2.
Well, it tells you that the Warriors play D and the Rockets can't score. The only time the Rockets really offensively have gotten it going in the series consistently is when one guy, Jalen Green, went off.
Yeah.
And sometimes I guess that can happen, but it ain't going to happen four games. The Rockets are going to have to figure out a way to spread it out a little bit, but I think the Warriors are very comfortable defensively against this Rockets team, and I think they know that the Rockets absolutely have to be better and different than they've been offensively in the regular season for them to beat the Warriors. I think the Warriors know it.
Anything Udoka can do to help this Rocket team on the offensive end, or is it goo? He can't go out there and shoot for them. Tari Eason had 19 mm-hmm. minutes. We talked about Jabari Smith Jr. I would roll the dice and see what he does in a bigger role, but Raymond Ritter told us, Donnie, it's a make or miss league at this juncture. What cards does he may have to kind of change the fortune of this Rocket offense? Or, dude, have you watched 82 games of the Rockets? This is just who they are.
I mean, you can't change your personnel. Man. They are not a good offensive team. They're not. They've got four 22 or 23-year-olds. I will say this about the Rockets. I have this written down. Let me make sure I get it right.
Give it to me.
I'm going to tell you something about the Rockets. If their young core, okay, if their young core, I don't know anything about them, but Green, Şengün, Jabari Smith Jr., Eason, who's the other one? Who's the other guy?
Eason.
I forget, in their starting
Brooks,
lineup.
Thompson.
Yes, Amen Thompson. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, if those five guys are committed and they are professional and they really want to be great players, and then they get coached right. And I'm not saying they're not getting coached right at all. Mm-hmm. But if that team stays committed and they're coached well, they're going to be a big problem. They really are. Because they just have to get more skilled as a team. But if they continue to play this hard and they're well coached – now they got to be good kids, if yeah. you will. You know, they got to really want to reach their potential as individual players. But that's a good team. That's going to be a good team down the line if they're committed and they have good coaching.
And
I have no reason to believe that Udoka's not a good coach.
Yeah, no doubt. And we saw what he did with Boston. It was just off the court issues. He got him in a new locale. But I will say this, as I'm staring and talking to you on this lovely Monday, Steiny, and the Rockets down 1-2, everything you just said was spot on. But when you talk about, hey, can we dangle some of our young talent, and I'm talking about Jalen Green, to go get what they yearn, and that is a professional, skilled, bona fide 25-23-point score, and there's some names out there, and you get that in this nucleus, Donnie, the Houston Rockets could make a two jumps to the Western Conference Finals, or maybe Finals in my opinion, but that's how close they are. But I'll just go back to Amen Thompson, Steiny. Offensively, he's not been getting it done this series, I believe, and just 5 for 16, that's 11 misses. And again, I've never called him KD, but guys like that got to have a better game against the Warriors, and I just don't know if he's ready against this. We keep talking about the Rockets defense, but since Jimmy Butler's been in town, the Warriors have had the best defense. I don't know if that's going to happen the rest of this series as long as it goes.
So I know the guy you're thinking of,
oh,
and I
got to
tell you, I have no interest in that. If I were Ime Udoka,
wow.
I have no interest in Kevin Durant.
Well, give me the why, though,
because
the number one.
We've got four 5, 22, 23 years old, year old. They've made the playoffs for the first time. They're all growing. They're getting better. You bring Kevin Durant in, he's going to be the guy. They're going to have, they're all going to have to play around him. And I just wouldn't bring in a guy like that who's what, 37 yeah. or 38 yeah. and say, hey, you know, hey, everybody, we got a guy who's going to get 25 a game, maybe, but
it, 36,
you know,
yeah, I believe, yeah.
all, you know, yeah. what I just wouldn't, I, it changes their makeup too much. That's just my opinion.
But what if,
and it would, you know,
what if you need that, unless you're telling me Jalen Green is going to, you know, his growth, you know for a fact it's going to happen? Because right now, we're talking about a team that doesn't Shingun. It's up and down. It's up and down.
Well, again, 22. They're going to be up and down. They have to be because they're young, and that's what we're seeing in the postseason. All I'm saying is, and that's the point I made before, if Jalen Green's a good kid and he's a hard worker, he's going to get better. They're all going to get better. And I get they don't have a number one right now.
Right.
I think Shingun could be a number one in a couple years. I think Jalen Green would be a great number two in a couple years. But to bring Durant in as a crutch, I don't like the idea.
Yeah.
Because he changes teams too much. And you know what else? Not necessarily for the better anymore.
Okay, what if I do this? And I know I'm reaching. We'll get back to the Dubs. What if I were to interest you in a is somehow, because Phoenix is just a train wreck.
No.
What if that guy was a Devin Booker?
Who you giving up?
Yeah, I would give up Jalen Green. Stani,
oh boy.
Like, I'm ready.
I wouldn't give – if Jalen Green is an attitude problem, sure, I would do that. But if Jalen Green's not an attitude problem,
you're waiting it out.
Hell yeah!
Oh man,
we're looking at a 22-year-old still. He's.
But we saw this with the Memphis Grizzlies 3-4 years ago, where
right,
we what, just thought they were gonna
right, but
they
what,
were gonna make that.
But
they were
why
gonna,
didn't they? Because Ja Morant is immature. He's the biggest reason that the Memphis Grizzlies have not taken the next step. Ja Morant. I'm just saying. Yeah, if Jalen Green's Ja Morant, then they might have a problem. But if Jalen Green's a pro, I'm not giving up on a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
Especially,
so you think they're going to sit still? Let's just say the Warriors close them out. You think they're going to sit still with the like, I don't. I think they're going to dangle some of their young stars
maybe
to get that professional closer.
I'd be very, very careful about that if I were the – like, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If they have 5 22-year-old guys, they made the playoffs for the first time, and they get beat in the first round, but there's some good signs, and they lost to a veteran team like the Warriors. Like, this is where teams mess up. It's like, let them grow. Let them get better. Well, I don't understand why it has to happen now. You've got a young team. They've got a style. They need to become better offensively. Just let him go. Let him get better. In Gary St. Jean, internal development. What's wrong with
well,
that?
You could be right. If they're feeling frisky, wow, E, tell me how you really feel. And they could kind of taste it, Steiny, and one of those guys is available.
Well,
I might think about, you know.
I'll tell you right now, I don't care who they bring in. They're not going to win a title next year. They're still going to be too young. That's my feeling. I mean, very seldom do teams with 5, 22, or 23-year-olds or whatever it is advance in the playoffs. But like, I think this team's got a chance. Not this year, but over the course of the next 2 or 3 years, if you can keep the core together, there's no reason they couldn't become more of a factor in the Western Conference. That, you know, I mean, even if you're the Houston Rockets, don't you have to say, we should be better than the Warriors in a year or two? We should be better.
Well, that would be conventional wisdom.
Right.
But if you're looking yourself in the mirror and you're saying, we're watching Steph Curry do it at his age, at 37, and you don't have that, then good luck waiting. You know what I mean, Stani? Because that's the one thing. You don't have anything right now remotely close to that. You know, you don't have anything remotely close to Anthony Edwards.
And I got you. How good was Steph Curry at 22 or 23?
Do you won the point already?
if these guys are workers, I'm not giving up on them. I'm talking about the Houston young players.
Well, how do you improve this problem? Is it just off-season? You get in the gym.
Yeah. You go to the lab.
I got you.
You become a better shooter, Jalen Green. Yeah. It's work. You got to work. Let's go to Dre and Lemoore. What's up, Dre? Now, they may go out and get Durant, and I'll say, yeah, you were right on the money.
Hey, fellas.
I'd just be a little worried. What's up, Dre?
Oh, man, I got to tell you, through all the years we've been watching playoffs with this Warrior bunch, Houston seems to really get my goat, whether it was with the beard and CP3 or whatnot. That game Saturday was off the hook. I was really mad after the first quarter with the low amount of points we had. Really happy with the way the defense stepped up, and we were down three, I think, going into the third. I tell you what, man, that second half, Steph happens. Steph happens, guys.
I like that.
I was at a cousin's house, and she's my wife's cousin. She's a 49er fan, so her and me go crazy. She was looking at me like I just left the loony bin because that game was off the hook, back and forth. I was screaming. I was off my seat. This is going to be a good series. I think it's still going to be tight. I'd like to see Jimmy come tonight. But I'll tell you what, I gotta agree with you guys. Post came up big. The post man was there. He was there to swipe them boards. He's better at shooting the outside shot than he is finishing a little layup.
No doubt. No doubt. And you know what, Trey? And Trey, we gotta hit it, but thank you for the call. He was rushing his three, I thought, just a little bit. And that'll happen in a game against the Rockets when they have their guys flying around. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Employee pricing for all is on right now at Ceremony Ford in Colma. You pay what we pay. No markups, no nonsense. Stop by Ceremony Boulevard or shop 24/7 at ceremonyford.com. Ceremony Ford, from America for America.